Beloved friends, we greet you in the precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, rejoicing that we can continue in that blessed theme, the hope of the church. Oh, how that hope needs to brighten our path in these dark days of departure from the Word of God, in these dark days of increasing sinfulness and wickedness, when Satan's power will be manifested in the greatness that has never been equal before, just before the Lord Jesus returns. Oh, the blessed hope that is given to the church. Lift up your heads, my beloved fellow believer. Look up. Your redemption and mine draweth nigh. Jesus is coming again. And as we continue the blessed theme, we have noted, first of all, that hope includes not only the rapture and the resurrection of the saints, but it also includes the judgment seat of Christ, where we shall receive the rewards for the deeds that we have done in the body. But it also includes, as we are now looking upon the truth of that blessed coming marriage of the Lamb, when Christ will be united to his bride, the church, which he bought with his own precious blood. We continue in our scripture of Revelation 19, which was our message in the preceding one. And now to verse 6 through verse 9, we would go and read the words that John has written. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses, in the plural, or the righteous deeds and acts of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are happy are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word in the power of his Spirit, but also by the ministry of the word. May the Spirit bless the truth to every one of us for eternal blessing. Now here we have that consummation when Christ will be united in matrimony. That forever. No separation can ever take place when thus he claims his bride and she is brought to him forever. Again we repeat in our preceding message we noted the destruction of the false church. While there is any false claimant, there can be no wedding between Christ and the church. But we noted with joy, though it brings great destruction and judgment, yet we noted with joy the false claim of any other and all others will be dealt with in judgment and destroyed. There can be no other claimant to be the bride of Christ but the church. My beloved radio friend, again may I ask, we have done it before, no apology for repeating it. Are you a member of his church? I am not at all interested as to your particular affiliation, ecclesiastically, church-wise, which you may claim. I ask the question, not what church do you go to? Do you belong to Christ? Is he your Savior? Are you a member of his body, which is the church, and called in the scripture the church of the living God? Oh, I know, and oftentimes to the destruction of many souls, in the world today, there are many professing bodies that stumble. Many, many dear people, from seeing the truth, 'tis not the church that saves. For may I be reminded, no church, no leader of the church, ever died for your sin, none but Christ, and him alone. And repeating the words of Peter once again, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Do you belong to Christ? For may I repeat again, every man, woman, boy, and girl that takes their place in that glorious event of the rapture will belong to him. And any person, though they may profess to belong to him and are not genuinely his, will be left behind. Make sure, my friend, you belong to Christ. Don't say, I belong to this church, I belong to that church. Listen, you're blinding yourself. Do you belong to Christ? For here we have the marriage which is about to take place in our scripture. And there is a great voice coming out of the and thunderings in the heavens above, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Oh, my beloved, what a hallelujah. Note, please, with me, verses 6 and 7. The grand hallelujah. There are two reasons for this great hallelujah hymn of praise. First, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. His kingdom is now about to be established. Now again, let me repeat, the hope of the church not only includes the rapture and the resurrection, not only includes the judgment seat of Christ, not only includes the marriage of the Lamb, but it also includes the coming glory of the kingdom. And the hallelujah is given because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth and his kingdom is about to be established. And then, of course, the second reason for the great hallelujah, the marriage of the Lamb is to take place, for the false bride is gone. Well, I'm sure, I don't know about you, but I never heard any great hallelujahs when I was married. I might have said hallelujah myself in my own heart. But I want to tell you, heaven is going to be filled with hallelujahs when this wedding takes place. You've never been to a wedding like this. You never could go to a wedding like this. There never could be another wedding like this. There never will be another wedding like this. When all in that region above ring their hallelujahs for such an occasion. My, if the bride in an earthly wedding was greeted with hallelujahs by all the visitors, the guests that were there, I wonder what she'd feel like. Well, greatly honored, no doubt, and perhaps she would blush. Well, maybe we will when that blessed event comes. But oh, what hallelujahs. Hallelujahs are going to fill heaven. Now, let me say this, my friend. If you never heard anybody say hallelujah, when you come to this wedding, if you're in the wedding, you're going to hear a lot of hallelujahs. That grand hallelujah. The marriage of the Lamb is come. Please note this. And the bride, his wife hath made herself ready. Now we raise the question again. We want to be sure it's known and clearly understood. Who is the bride? The bride is the church. We noted that from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Again, we repeat it. No apology for the repetition. May God ram it down into your mind and heart. That every believer, all believers in Christ, from Pentecost to the rapture, comprise the bride. No other saints belong to the church, which is the bride. Now, we read here, his wife has made herself ready. And when you look in verse 8, the beauty of that apparel is given. She's arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen, the righteous deeds of the saints. How does the bride prepare a wedding garment? Oh, my beloved, let me say this. Now, please remember what we have studied in our preceding studies. At the judgment seat of Christ, that's where the wedding garment is really cleaned up, if you please. Before the wedding garment can be put on for the wedding, the Lord takes out every spot, every wrinkle, every blemish, removes all the bad things that may have been reflected in our lives upon the earth, which were not for his glory. All that remains is what we have done good for him. That will make the wedding garment. Ah, my beloved, please let me say this. The beauty of it is not only the glory that he has given to her by redemption, but even her works, that which she has done for him, will also be upon her wedding garment. Let me just say, he not only will see a church that he has bought with his own blood, but also he will have a body of believers. And as he looks at them, upon their garments of beauty will be the evidence of their righteous deeds they have done for him. My beloved fellow believer, let me pause. Let me reflect with you the meaning of this. How important it is to see it. Today, if I may suggest, what you and I are for him is the weaving of our wedding garment in that day. Before we shall put it on, he will take away the wrinkles and the spots and the blemishes that we have done. But thank God, all that is done good for him. Let me quote the words of 2 Corinthians 5:10. That every one of us must appear at the judgment seat of Christ to receive the due reward for the deeds that we have done in the body, whether good or bad. The bad will be eliminated. The good will remain. My fellow believer, let me say humbly, every good deed, every good act, every good thing that you and I have done for Christ will be on that wedding garment. The Lord is not going to forget it. Here, the Lord is going to see it forever. Don't tell me how. It's for him to make it clear when we get there. But I want to tell you, he's going to have an eternal appreciation. Not only did he bought us with his blood, he's going to have an eternal appreciation for what we did for him, how we lived for him, what we suffered for him, even down here. And oh, my beloved fellow believer, won't you be very careful how you, and may I be very careful how I live? I'm weaving the wedding garment for that great day. For the white, clean and white linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. I think of many saints that have died for the Lord. The glory of their sacrifice will be there for him to enjoy in the whole wedding garment of that day. May God write it upon our hearts and consciences, fellow believers, that we may live for him. My unsaved friend who may be listening, I'd like to invite you to this wedding. Come, all things are now ready. Christ has died to save you, shed his blood for your sins. All he asks is you to come and receive forgiveness. Make him your Savior and live for his glory, too. Father, bless thy word to saint and sinner. In our Savior's name we ask it. Amen.